In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I hope each one of you are enjoying our Christmas celebration, which still goes on. And I know some of you were traveling and were out of town, so I'm very happy to sing the Christmas carols with you and for you to see our beautiful church. This will all continue. Christmas, my mother used to say, my Irish mother late at night, she said, Christmas shouldn't be just one day, it should be every day. You know, and I believe that. But we'll continue through the Feast of Epiphany this Saturday morning, and we'll gather and celebrate that manifestation of Christ to the whole world, symbolized by the Magi, or the three kings coming to Jesus, and we'll gather and share the Epiphany cake, kind of an Epiphany coffee cake this week on Saturday morning. So I hope you'll come out at 8:30 for the Mass. Well, anyway, every week I start working on my sermon in my laptop computer, and it comes to like Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, and I say to my son Ryan, who has the computer printer in his room, say, Ryan, I need to print out my sermon. And Ryan said, Dad, there's no paper in the... How many sheets should I put in the computer printer? And I said, he's behind his door in his room. He's always there. You know, I said to my... when I complain about that sometimes, you're always in your room. He says, if I was at the university, I'd always be in my room too, you know, in the dorm. But anyway, he says, how many sheets, Dad? And I said, about six. He says, oh, Dad, you know. And then Kathleen chimes in, oh, John, you know, like that. So I put it in a smaller font, and I got it down to four sheets. But guess what? It'll be on Karen. I'll have Karen put it on our website. But I got four sheets here, single space. I just want to talk to you this morning, okay? You know, and all. This is a Sunday that comes once every 6-7 years, when the next day is New Year's Eve. So it's time to think about resolutions, isn't it? You know, at least everybody thinks about those kind of things. We're so disappointed in them because we let them go. We make them, but we break them so fast. You know. Anyway, years ago, 1974, my buddy David and I were traveling through England and up to Scotland, and got to the west coast of Scotland, crossed over into Ireland from Stranraer to Lairn on the ferry boat, and we walked up from the docks. It was late afternoon, looking for a bed and breakfast, and saw a couple of them there and picked one and walked up to the door, and a lady answered the door, and right behind her on the wall in the kind of the hallway of this bed and breakfast was a big picture of Jesus. And I thought, oh, this is great. I looked at David, you know, we're at home here, this is great. And so we went in, got our rooms, and it was great. And the lady started to ask us a lot of questions, like, you know, where do you study? Or, you know, where are you students? Or what are you doing? She says, yeah, we're students in Rome. And she said, well, what might you be studying in Rome? David came in and said, theology. And she says, and what might you be studying theology for? We're studying it. We're going to be ordained priests in a year. Oh! It didn't take long to find out that she did not like Catholics at all. So I said, well, David, why don't we go up to our room, you know? And so we went up there, and next morning came down for breakfast. She sort of put our rasher and egg down in front of us, you know, poured us some tea. It was a little cool at breakfast time. And she comes over after she served us. We were eating that last piece of cold toast with a relish. And she says, I've got a question for you. And my heart started to beat. You know, she looked at me and she said, can you tell me this? How many birthdays does a Christian have? Oh, my heart was beating like this. I'm lousy at trivia. You know, some of you are great at that, stuff like that, knowing all these answers to all these things, you know. But my mind goes blank whenever we get, you know, in a situation like that. But David, he's sharp as a tack. He says, ma'am, came to the occasion. Rosie, can, two. She looked, okay, what are they? She said, the day you're born naturally from your mother and the day you're born from the Holy Ghost. Her face just dropped. She said, you're the first two Catholics I've ever known who were saved. So, you know, that evangelical theology, you know, has some real truth in it, of course. And where my thoughts are going on this particular Sunday, the day before a new year starts, what really struck me from the readings of our scriptures today is that that center portion of the gospel, prologue of John's gospel, where it says, to all who received him and believed in him, he gave power to become children of God. And then in Galatians today, you know, he's born of a woman, and he sent his spirit into our hearts so that we might cry, Abba, which means daddy. You know. So it's this, my resolution is around this living childhood before God, and even as we're all adults, most of us are adults here, and learning how to walk in the Spirit this coming year. Now we've got our sign out in front of the entrance of our church. And we've had it up for a couple years now, I think. And everybody knows what it says. It's a sign. We call it our prophetic sign, or I call it the prophetic sign, because it's got a message that we keep taking in for ourselves, and we also sort of put before the world that passes by. And of course, you know what it says. It says, either we are all children of God or no one is. And I've gotten three letters about that sign. I'm not going to say I got tons of mail about it, but three letters. Of course, you know, if you get a letter from someone, there's probably another 50 or 100 people thinking the same thing. And of course, the letter always says, sometimes it's usually respectful. It says, Dear Father Smith, I'm writing in reference to your sign that all are children of God, or either everyone is a child of God or no one is. And I would think that you'd be theologically attuned enough to know that you're only a child of God if you're baptized in Christ. So then I write back and I say, in the Nicene Creed, we pray, the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. So that everything in this world, especially our human life, every human being's life, and of course the created world, the living world out there, part of God's creation, but all the people that come into this world receive this gift of life from something beyond themselves. Even their parents received it in the same way, so that the source of all this life is this Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And in a very real and true sense, every human being is then a child of God. And that's why you hear a lot of appeals in the church. And you should. We're kind of a counterculture here, you know. I mean, the world is, Christmas is over, and we're still celebrating it, you know. You hear a lot of appeals in the church to take real care of what we do in this world and how we use our power. Because what if it stamps out God's life, the gift of life that God has given us? So I respectfully write back to those three people that all their letters were about on that theme, that yes, everyone in this world receives life from God and is a child of God. But what are we talking about today in the prologue where it says, to all who believed in Him, He gave power to become children of God? How does this jive with what I just said? What it's all about is that everyone out there is a child of God, and we need to relate to them in that way. I'm not going to bomb anybody who's God's child. And I'm not going to rejoice in anybody's death who's God's child. The difference is that we realize and are given the power by our faith and our baptism to relish and enjoy an inheritance that has been given to us that many might not know is offered to them as well. And that's my resolution this year. Lord, help me to live as a child before You, even though I'm an adult. And so often I think in my sophisticated adult ways things that are not pleasing to You. Please help me rest in Your arms as a daddy, as a child before You, and to relate to everybody else in that same way with childlike trust and love, leaving all judgment to You. And the way this all gets started is by asking. It's the Holy Spirit that does it in us. You know the passage, ask and you shall receive. How much the Heavenly Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Luke chapter 11. So we ask for the Spirit. And you know, when we make resolutions, and I hope you'll make it. You'll make your resolution in the quiet of your heart, because we have moments of silence here in the service and during this week in quiet moments. When we've made resolutions in the past, they're so products of our human nature and weakness that we keep them for a day or two, sometimes for 3 weeks. But the wonderful thing is that when we make a resolution with God and ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and then cooperate day by day with that Spirit, because God needs our cooperation, those resolutions can stick and can change and transform our lives and make us into what Isaiah called a diadem in the Lord's hands. That is you and I. to be aware of that relationship that God is offering to us. To enjoy our inheritance. You know, I hear stories about people's inheritance. So I got this much from my family. Or my brother did something legally and I was aced out of my whole inheritance. You know. But the inheritance that God offers us today as His people can never be taken away. And that's the inheritance that we are called to relish and enjoy, this relationship with God and with one another. Ask, and you will receive it. Amen.